I love to read Psalms. And I'm going to read some verses to you. You don't have to go there. I'll just read them to you. Because I'm going to skip around and do a little something a little different. So I just want you to meditate on the Psalms and the verses. There was a time in my life when things looked really bad. Not too long ago. And you may relate to it. When you just don't think it's going to end. Your mind is playing tricks on you and it's condemning you. Your heart is all whacked out. You're not acting right. You wonder if God is hearing your prayers.
Yes.
And you have nowhere else to go. And I had nowhere else to go except for the Word. And asking God to open up my heart so I could find my situation in the Word. Not what's out there in the world. And I found myself. And when I found myself in Scripture, I would go through the Psalms, and I couldn't get off my sofa because of my back and my other health problems, and I couldn't go to work, and I could do nothing but lay on the sofa and feel pain. Have you ever felt pain?
Yes. Amen.
Emotional pain, physical pain. But you know what? We can find places in Scripture that, whether it's the psalmist, whether it's Solomon, whether it's David, they have gone through the same things. And so we're not alone in this journey. I'm so glad. I'm not alone in this journey. Just because I'm having these problems doesn't mean that I lack faith. It doesn't mean that I've strayed away. It means that I'm living the life here on earth the best I can. Have you ever been there? I guess I'm the only one. This story may be just for me then. Hurt, pain, emotional issues. But when I went through the Psalms, I said, Lord, okay, Lord, I got my highlighter, my yellow highlighter, and I got my Bible. That's all I got. I've been to the doctors. I've been over here. I've made the phone calls. Forgive me, Lord, for going everywhere else except for where I should have been to start with. Show me some comfort in the Psalms so I can at least, through my trials and my tribulations, at least I could rest. At least I could find peace in my heart. Even though my circumstances are collapsing all around me, even though I can't walk without a cane, even though I'm just emotionally spent out, where do I go? I'll go to the Scripture. So what I did, and I'm so grateful, I took my highlighter and I started reading. And where a Scripture popped out and I could relate to it, guess what I did? And so when I'm feeling down and out and I'm going through these problems, because, by the way, problems are not going to end while you're on this earth.
Amen.
So don't look for a life that's free of problems. It's not going to happen. But through the problems, if you're a Christian, can you have the peace that passes all understanding because of what God has already put in place for you? He's already put the Word in place for you to read when you're having problems. Not that the problems won't go away. I mean, you can have, and I can have, peace in the boat when the storms are all around us. So where to find encouragement in the Psalms? Hey, when you feel abandoned, go to the Psalms.
Amen.
When your world seems to be falling apart, go to the Psalms. Because somebody's already been through it first. I'm not the only one. When you're afraid, go find it in the Psalms somewhere. There's somebody that's already been afraid. See, people are real. We're real people, aren't we? We live in a real world. We're not robots. We're not religious fanatics. We don't come to God and get saved and all of a sudden everything is going to be just fine all the time. That's not real world. That's not the way it happens. When your family gets on your nerves, go to the Psalms. Nobody's experienced that, so you don't need to go there, right? When you are facing a daunting challenge, Have you ever faced a challenge? Daunting, that you couldn't think that you would ever, ever accomplish? How many of us have challenges right now that look like they're far, far away from getting accomplished? I'm glad I'm not the only one here. When you are discouraged by the apparent prosperity of the wicked. Oh, man. That guy, that girl, she's living like the devil, man, but she's got all this stuff. Look at her clothes, man. She's blinging all over the place. Got boyfriends with big cars and nice houses. She goes out and eats good, but she's living like the devil. Don't get discouraged by the apparent prosperity of those who are living against God. You keep on doing what you're doing. Do the right thing. Read the Bible. Do what it says do. You're going to get your reward.
Amen.
When you do not feel very thankful, that one's going to hit a lot of people today. When you don't feel very thankful, go to the Psalms. Go find yourself there. When you feel it as if God has forgotten you, He hasn't forgotten you, but go to the Psalms and find out what they were feeling when they were feeling the same way. It's all right. Don't deny the feelings in that. Maybe you haven't gone through a period of life when you haven't heard from God. And it's been quiet. It's okay. You can grow through the quiet times. A lot of people that I see, man, if they're not getting revelation from God and all this hallelujah, glory to God stuff has not happened in their life, they think God has abandoned them. No, that's not true. Life doesn't have to be fireworks all the time. God can speak to you in that small voice through Scripture when things don't look like they're going well for you, or it's silent for you, or you're going through a rough time, or a desert part of your life. When you are tempted to lose faith in God, go to the Psalms. You may have gone through a time in your life when you're saying, you know what, I'm doing the right thing. I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm living a holy life the best I can, and you know what, nothing right is happening in my life. Well, you know what, I might just have that tendency, I just might go back to the way it was before I knew God. Because you know what, at least I could have some stuff that's different. We all have gone through that period of time when we start thinking in our mind, be honest, is it worth it, or is this what I want to be doing, or is my faith real, or I ain't getting blessed, or... When you have lost your eternal perspective, how do you have an eternal perspective? You go to the Word, and you get saturated with what God's Word says. Not your own belief system. What does the Lord say to us to do? Eternal perspective. You know, it's easy to think on things here on the earth and get tunnel vision and go, okay, that's happening over there. I can watch the news, read the paper, and all that stuff is happening. All that trauma is happening out there, but that's not eternal perspective. There's a lot of bad things that are happening today. But if we start focusing on these things and not focusing on the Word of God, we're going to have unrest in our life. Some of us are unrestful today. And you don't have to be if you know Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if He's the Prince of Peace and He lives inside of you, why are you unrestful? Something's not right. If you're anxious about stuff that you cannot control, and you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, what's wrong? When you feel like you're barely hanging on, man, I can't go no more. I'm just at the end of my rope. All this stuff is going wrong. I don't seem like I can just want to wake up in the morning. When you're barely hanging on, go to the Psalms and find out about whoever's experienced that first. And you go, wow, I'm not the only one. I can get encouragement through things that look like they're discouraging. It's not about a fairy tale land. We're not in a fairy tale book, are we? Some people just walk around. They just live in the clouds. That's not real life. Things go wrong at times. When you are wondering what God expects out of your life, go to the Psalms. Have you ever wondered that? Am I the only one? What does God want for my life? Go to the book. The problem is we're not going to the book like we should. You know, we want to eat, but we don't want to make the recipe. We don't want to make it. We don't want to look at it and see how's it all put together. We don't want to struggle through our salvation. We don't want to work it out. We just want it all to happen at once, and it's not going to happen that way. The Bible says, work out your salvation through fear and trembling. Work it out. Turn to your neighbor and say, work it out. And nobody can do that for you. When you want to know God better, and that should be all of us if you're a Christian, go to the Psalms. And that should be like an ongoing thing. Yes, Lord, I want to know you better. I mean, when you meet somebody that you like, and you go, man, this is a cool person, you think, I want to get to know them better. And what do? You find a way to spend more time with them. You talk to them a little bit more, spend a little more time with them. I mean, you do something to help you grow toward that person because you like that person. And if we're truly born again believers, we want to know God better. Amen. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, I do, and the fellowship of His suffering, yes, I do. Oh, I want to know Christ better, but I don't know about all the suffering stuff. He suffered for us. And if you're suffering for Him, hold on. Just hold on. It's because you're getting to know Him better through your suffering. That I may know Him, but I don't want the suffering part. That's not what it says. You know, when I was on my sofa, couldn't walk, except for crutches, couldn't do nothing except for read and sleep, feel bad, I feel that I got closer to the Lord. And I didn't ask for that position. Don't ask for suffering. Don't pray for suffering. It'll come. We're not to pray for suffering because the Bible says it's going to come. And feel yourself blessed if you have to suffer for a little while to get closer to the Lord. If that's really your desire to know Him better, and He allows suffering in your life because, hey, I can't go to my friend, I can't go to church, I can't do anything that I love to do except for read His Word by myself, and He speaks to my heart. Yes, and you find yourself in Scripture in the Psalms. When you need to be reminded of the goodness of God, yeah, don't we? Sometimes we say, well, I'm not getting blessed. I don't have anything. Wait a minute. God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have eternal life in Christ. One day, you won't have one problem. You won't shed one tear. You won't have one bad backache. Oh, man. You won't have any problems. And if you're like me, I'm past middle age. Your life is like a vapor. Snap your fingers like that. That's it. That's your life. That's your life the way God looks at it. Boom, it's gone. 1,000 years is a day. So don't hang on to it too much. Something that doesn't mean anything here on earth. Think of things that are eternal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot corrupt them. And it may be hard for some of us to think that way, but that's an eternal perspective. If you're reading the Word and you're saturating yourself with the Word like a sponge is saturated with water, then you're going to start thinking this way, and you're going to be encouraged, even when things don't look very encouraging. I need to be reminded of the goodness of God, that He plucked me out of the pits of hell, saved me by grace through faith, and gave me eternal life. Is that not good enough for all of us? Grace? Do you need any more? Some people say grace is is just the beginning. We should expect a lot more from God. No. It's by grace we are saved through faith. God has given you the most precious gift without you having to earn it. And none of us deserve it.
Amen.
Grace is unmerited favor. When you need to recommit yourself to serving God, well, that puts me out of it. I'm just trying to get by. I don't know where I can serve God. Oh, yes. There's something in your life that you can do to serve God. There's all kinds of being a doorman, being a doorwoman, picking up trash, raking the leaves outside the church, handing out bulletins, doing something, speaking good words, there's all kinds of little things we can do. That's why I like to serve in lots of different capacities. I just like variety. I like straightening up chairs when I come into chapel. I like picking up trash. I like doing whatever the small stuff is. It's not all about speaking from a pulpit or preaching. Serve God. Make a commitment to serve Him in some way. When you need wisdom, turn to your neighbor and say, I could use a little wisdom. Everybody's in that line, right? And where do you find wisdom? It's in the Psalms. Go to the Psalms. When you need a reminder of God's mercy, God, if you gave me what I deserve, mercy is God withholding what you and I deserve because of our sinful condition. God is holy, man is sinful. God cannot fellowship with sin. And He showed us mercy. There are people that are separated from God in hell right now that are saying this, just one more chance. And God doesn't want anybody to be there, so throughout eternity their conscience is going to be their worst punisher, knowing that they don't have to be there. Can you imagine suffering every day and knowing in your mind that you don't have to be there, that you don't have to be going through that? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Just one more chance. No, it's too late. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be here. That's right. God didn't want anybody to be separated from Him in hell, and He's provided a way for no one to go there. But why does a man go there? Because they want to hang on to their sin. They like their sin better. Sin is good for a season. It feels good usually. And some of you may say, I'll get around to it. That's a dangerous position. I'll get around to it. I believe all the stuff you're talking about, preacher. I believe in Christ. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He lived a life without sin. But I'm not ready. I'll get around to it. Well, are you guaranteed that your heart is going to beat past tonight? No. Today is the day of salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, today is the day.
Today is the day.
And then say, tomorrow is the day, because we don't not guaranteed tomorrow. Have you known some people in your life that have died unexpectedly?
Yes.
They didn't wake up that day thinking they were going to be taken off the earth? We're not given to tomorrow, so if you're not right with God, you've never been born again, today is the day. When you feel like celebrating, yes, go to the Psalms. Praise God. Not that everything's going right, but I know that if I died today, I would be like Christ for eternity. Man, that's good enough for me right now. It's hot. You may be hungry. You may be tired. You may be depressed. You may be oppressed. But we can find ourselves in the Psalms. Save me, O God. For the waters have threatened my life. The psalmist says, hey, the waters are rising. They're up to my neck. But you're going to save me, God, because I'm crying out to you. These waters are threatening my life. Oh, God, it is you who knows my folly. Yeah, man, I messed up, Lord, and only you know my heart. And I have messed up over and over again. But only you know all that.
Amen.
And my wrongs are not hidden from you. Don't try to hide anymore. All that secret sin that you try to push by, I turn the line off, nobody can see me. Oh, God. God can see you.
Amen.
Quit hiding from God. Quit trying to hide your feelings from God. May those who wait for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. I hope that I'm never a stumbling block to someone. How many of us are going to sin most likely before we die? Everybody? Pray that when you fall into it, that you're not a stumbling block to somebody.
Amen.
Deliver me from the mire. Oh man, have you ever felt like life was just like a quicksand pit? Deliver me from the mire. Oh my, there's plenty of it out there, man. It's just waiting on us. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink, Lord. May I be delivered from my foes. Did you have enemies out there?
Yes.
There's some people out there that don't want the best for you, that want the worst for you.
Amen.
And if you're a child of God, God's going to take care of his own. Let him fight the battle for you.
Amen.
Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That'll be the freedom you need in your life.
Amen.
But there's people out there wanting to hurt you. There's people out there that already hurt you.
Amen.
And it's up to you to say, okay, I'm going to release it. I'm going to forgive them. You may have some animosity. You may have some hatred towards some people in your life. And if you're a Christian, you're not to hate anybody. It doesn't matter how much you've been hurt by that person. I mean, Christ did that for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God forgave us when we were unforgivable. The power and the freedom of living a Christian life in victory is to forgive those who have persecuted you. That's a hard one. That's going to take some work for a lot of us. But that's where the freedom is. Because that's being like Christ when you do that. Christ didn't demand any changes from you when you came to him in humility and brokenness over sin. You just came to him saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I put my faith in you. That's all that was required. He forgave you of all of your sins. Shouldn't you forgive others who have sinned against you? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We all know that. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. Oh, the psalmist is like, oh, I'm treading water here. I can barely keep my head above the waters, Lord. Only you can save me. These are the ones I highlighted when I was going through my difficult period of my life. And do not hide your face from your servant. See, he's saying, I feel like you're hiding your face from me, God. But I know that that's not true. But I haven't heard from you, God. I haven't responded to you, and you're not responding to me in my heart. It feels like you're far away from me. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, you always feel like God is right there walking with you?
No.
And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. I am in distress. And he says, answer me quickly. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. Hey, all answers from God are quick in his timing.
Amen.
Got to get a hold of that one. 1,000 years is a day to God, so if he answers you tomorrow, it's quick. A month from now, it's quick. A year from now, it's quick. Maybe before you die, it's quick. But he's saying in his heart, Lord, I need you to answer me. I desire a response from you. They also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. That's Christ, right? In the Old Testament. But I am afflicted and in pain. That's what it says. I'm reading it. Let me make it up. But I am afflicted. Yes, I have been afflicted. Yes, Lord, I am in pain. Acknowledge that issue with God. The psalmist is doing it. A lot of people say, well, if you're in pain, you're lacking faith. If you're in pain, you know, you're not walking close to God. That's not true. We're all real people in a real world doing the best we can. And the psalmist said, I'm afflicted. I'm in pain, Lord. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. He's in pain. He's afflicted. He didn't ask for all that to go away. He started talking about the salvation of the Lord by being saved. That was best for him. That was the thing that was on his mind. Even though he was afflicted and in pain, he knew that salvation was even better than not having pain. Because what good is a life free from pain, having all the money in the world, and you die and you spend eternity in hell? I mean, how would you witness to a millionaire that has everything? Oh, Jesus loves you and he wants a better life for you. And he goes, I'm a millionaire. I got two great kids. I got a big house. I got a great job. My health is good. Man, all the good. So what am I going to say? Jesus loves you and he wants a better plan for your life. Hey, I already got a good plan, man. He needs Jesus because he has sinned against God. That's why we need Christ in our life, because we've sinned against God. God came to seek and to save those who are lost. That was Christ's mission statement. Are there benefits for knowing Him? Absolutely. But the benefits for knowing Him is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't need any of that. I got plenty of that, right? Self-control. Wow. You know, when somebody says something to you and you got a choice to just stay in the spirit or just go ahead and get in the flesh with it. And if you get in the flesh with it, you're going to be sorry. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to be sorry. And if you just stay in the spirit, God will work it out. You trust in God. But everything in your flesh, in your human sinful nature says, oh, I want to get my little 2 cents in there. Boy, it's hard, isn't it? We're not to get our own way as a Christian. That means we have an agenda. And it's difficult times. We live in a real world, or it's not robots. So he says, I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. That's where I'll end up being. I'm always on high. I'm always above the flood waters. I'm always in that secure place, even in the hospital bed. Even when I don't have a place to stay. Even when I'm hungry and down, I'm securely set on high because of what Christ has done for me. He has saved me from the consequences and the penalty of sin. Man, if people can go back and interview some people that are burning in hell and suffering, they may go like, it's a bad place. And some people may come back from hell and even preach that, hey, repent and believe, and some of us wouldn't even matter. Because we love sin so much. Sin. The Bible says even the man on his deathbed thinks of ways he can sin. If a person's not looking for God, it doesn't matter what the message is. They just love their sin. Was there a time in your life where you loved sin more than doing right? And now if you're a Christian, you're saved by grace, you're truly born again, you don't want to do wrong. You want to live a righteous life even though when you fall short. Even though you go, man, why did I think that? Why did I do that? That's not who I am. But it grieves you inside. You don't want to do it. But it's people that don't know Christ, it doesn't matter whether they hurt somebody or do wrong or do right. It doesn't matter to them. They're just trying to get whatever's good for them. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. Turn to your neighbor and say, let your heart revive. I need a revival of my heart. I'm a long way from being like the Lord. Hopefully I'm more like the Lord than I used to be. Hopefully. If you're calling yourself a Christian and you're nowhere near like Christ and you're the same old person that you were when you met Christ long ago, you need to check your salvation to see if it's real or not. Self-examination. Take an x-ray spiritually. Oh God, hasten to deliver me. Oh Lord, hasten to my help. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Yes. Yes. Let those who seek my life, let those who want the worst for me, let those be ashamed and humiliated. Amen. If you're a child of the living God, God's going to take care of you. Let those who turn back, let those be turned back in dishonor. They will. Who delight in my hurt. I'm reading this right here. Because there were times in my life, and there will be times in my life, that even the so-called Christians wanted the worst for me. And if you're on fire for God and you're doing something that means something in life, people are going to look at you and want the worst from you for a lot of reasons. But those who turn back and dishonored, who delight in my hurt, let all who seek you rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice. And be glad in you. Be glad in you. Be glad in you. Not my circumstances, because they will let me down every time. If I'm basing my happiness, my joy on what goes on around me and how much money I have or how many good friends I have, I am going to be disappointed. But it says, I'll be glad in you. That's where we need to be glad. And that doesn't mean walking around with a big smile on your face and laughing openly. That's not what that means. It's the inner peace and joy you'll have in knowing God. Knowing that He's got the best for you. That He wants the best for you. If you seek Him with all your heart and you desire to please Him by a life of obedience, He wants the best for you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, how many of you love His salvation? And we're going to close. Here's what he says. Let God be magnified. All those who love your salvation, let those people that love your salvation say continually, and we're going to say it all together as we break, let God be magnified. Ready?
Let God be magnified.
Say it again.
Let God be magnified.
One more time.
Let God be magnified.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for being magnified in this word. My Lord, it's so rich. I pray that I spoke it with honor and respect and with compassion. I pray that we've learned something, that we've been helped tangibly, that we can take this word all through the Psalms and we can be at peace. Whether we're in the storm or not, we'll get there. Whether we're struggling with something, we're going to get there. But when we do, we can take the Word and we can be at peace and rest in our hearts, knowing that you care for us and that you can, through those times, as the psalmist said, be magnified. So be magnified in our lives, Father, wherever we are in our life. We're all in different places. But Father, we pray that this Word will give us the encouragement and give us the strength to carry on in a real world, in a real way. And Father, if there's anybody that does not know you as Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. And for us that know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this word helps us to know you better. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the glory. And all of God's children said,
Amen.